Tel Aviv.
Israel has said they want to expand the operation of its targets, not only against rocket installations and fabrication centers and stockpiles, but to go closer to the civilian population where some of those rockets are being fired from.
In Midland, Texas, the death toll stands at 4 after a train crashed into a float carrying veterans to a banquet in their honor. Several other people were injured and hospitalized. This is NBC News Radio. FedEx and UPS say they are the targets of a federal criminal investigation related to their dealings with online pharmacies. The disclosures were made in regulatory filings over the last several weeks. FedEx says federal prosecutors are looking into issues related to the transportation of packages for online pharmacies. FedEx denied any wrongdoing and called the probe absurd. When is the last time you checked your tires? NBC's Paul Harlan says now might be a good time.
If you haven't checked your car's tires, you are not ready for travel this Thanksgiving. That's the word from the Rubber Manufacturers Association, which says there are millions of vehicles on the road with one or more tires that are too bald for safe driving. They also say driving on tires that aren't properly inflated reduces fuel economy and causes the tires to wear out faster. For more tire care tips, visit the website betiresmart.org. I'm Paul Harlan, NBC News Radio.
I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
And right now, get 50% off photo cards and invitations. No coupon needed. Limited time only. Details in-store and at Staples.com. Staples. That was easy.
An important message from Medicare. It's Medicare Open Enrollment, now through December 7th. Time to compare plans. Happy with your current one? You can always keep it, but it never hurts to look. And check out the preventive benefits you get after the healthcare law, with no co-pays or deductibles, like a yearly wellness visit. Savings, too, like over 50% off brand-name prescriptions in the donut hole. Medicare Open Enrollment. Now's the time. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
As part of its effort to underpin the fragile housing market, the federal government now backs almost 9 in 10 new mortgages. That has meant $137 billion taxpayer dollars to date, bailing out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, whose payouts from guaranteed loans gone bad have greatly exceeded revenue. Now the Federal Housing Administration appears headed for a similar fate. An audit released today will show the first deficit in the 78-year history of the FHA. It is not a shock that Sears Holdings is losing money. The company behind Sears and Kmart reports sales declined at both chains in the third quarter as its loss widened from a year ago to $500 million. While Sears keeps losing, formerly struggling Gap Incorporated is turning its fortunes around, reporting a 60% increase in profit last quarter from a year ago as sales increased across all chains. Asian stock markets up today, European markets down. So far, we're going with Europe. S&P futures losing 5 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
My Mercedes-Benz dealership has a courtesy car waiting for me. It's easy for me
to come in. They always use Mercedes-Benz genuine parts.
And they always have my favorite coffee. I just feel so comfortable.
Personal attention and exceptional customer care. As a Mercedes-Benz owner, it's what you deserve and what you'll get.
My smooth ride.
My genuine sense.
My comfort zone. My service.
To learn more, visit mbusa.com/myservice.
Services vary. Available at participating dealers.
They say music is a universal language, but when I was in an accident, I was worried the healthcare system spoke a language all its own. But with United Healthcare, I got help that fit my life. Information on my phone, connection to doctors who get where I'm from, tools to estimate what my care may cost. So I never miss the beat.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for more than 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare. Learn more at UHC.com.
Do you snore? Do you share a room with someone whose snoring keeps you up at night? Finally, for the first time ever, you can put a stop to snoring instantly with Snorebreak. Snorebreak is not a nose or mouthpiece, it's not a drug, and it's not a procedure. Snorebreak is a patented liner that goes beneath a pillowcase and reduces snoring from the very first night. The secret is a fusion of natural extracts that dramatically improve breathing. Snorebreak is comfortable, easy, and virtually undetectable. Snorebreak works, and right now we're sending risk-free trials to listeners in your area. Just call 800-501-3429. Don't suffer one more sleepless night. Whether it's light snoring or heavy snoring, Snorebreak will help put a stop to it the very first night. Hurry and take part in this limited-time risk-free trial. Just call 800-501-3429. That's 800-501-3429. Call 1-800-501-3429.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
A good Friday morning to you. A pleasure to be with you as we are on top of this Friday, November 16th, 2012. That's right, Friday. Another week passes us by, less than a week before Thanksgiving. Where we'll get a little well-deserved time off for the entire First Shift crew as we will be taking Thursday, Friday, and, of course, Saturday and Sunday off. And honestly, looking very much forward to that. It's been a good ride, but we all need a little time to regroup, especially after the election. But we're going to get to all that. We've got a really interesting show for you today, and we're in the best possible way all over the place with topics and certainly with some expected results as well. What will we be working on today? Well, in the 7 o'clock hour, the Reverend Pastor D. Alexander Bullock joins us. We're going to be talking a little bit about House Resolution 6004. That is the bill that would authorize the Michigan Education Achievement Authority, or the EAA. We talked about it in great detail with AFT President David Hecker yesterday. We're rushing to approve something we don't even know works. Somebody has to slow this Republican train down in the lame duck. Is it possible? Well, we'll talk about that. Brad Van Gilder joins us at 7:35. He's the organizing representative for Clean Coal Campaign with the Sierra Club. They will be suing a DTE, or you may know them as Detroit Edison, for violations, pollution violations, and it's pretty severe. Wait till you hear how many violations they're talking about. Yeah, I'm not talking about like even 100 or 200. Just wait till we get to this one. Dennis Van Roekel joins us at 8 o'clock. He is the president of the National Education Association, was in the West Wing earlier this week as president brought leaders of labor together to talk about the fiscal cliff, what needs to happen, and we'll find out from Dr. Van Roekel, what happened in the room. Congressman Gary Peters joins us to, again, talk about the fiscal cliff. He is on the Ways and Means Committee. They have some suggestions. Will the Republicans really be willing to compromise? We'll find out. My good friend Michelle Fox Phillips, the executive director of Transgender Detroit, joins us briefly at 8:50 to talk about an event this evening called the Transgender Day of Remembrance. I will be attending that this evening. We'll tell you where it's at, what it's all about, and why you should go support this wonderful organization. Joe DeSano, our political insider, joins us at 9 o'clock, as he always does, as we wrap up another glorious day and glorious week here on First Shift. With all that said, let's get it going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is initiative. Initiative, having inertia. Initiative is really what propels us. It's what gets us from point A to point B, but not in and of itself. Sometimes initiative is just the first step, and literally the first step. You know, you've all heard that old cliche, the longest journey begins with a single step. That is, of course, true. But having the initiative to actually walk in the direction we need to go in sometimes can be daunting. Sometimes it is a challenge. Sometimes our mind plays tricks on us. Yes, it's easier to do nothing. We all know that. But I just see, I have this funny feeling, having gotten to know many of you via email or meeting you in person or whatever the case might be, that you all have initiative. Now, what you do with that initiative matters greatly. Initiative can be used for the good. It can be used for the bad. And, of course, we're all good deed doers here, right? Of course we are. But having initiative is not unlike many of the motivational words we put out here on a daily basis. It is critical. It is critical to change. Folks, we are in a unique and really interesting time. The prospects for our future really can be quite bright, but we have to be willing to fight the good fight. And so when we talk about initiative, perhaps one of the things that we need to mention, or perhaps your initiative should be about fighting that fight, about protecting what little turf you do have, and making sure that you maintain it while moving forward, while progressing, while having a vision. Oh my, initiative is one of those things that actually takes courage. One of our first words this week, having initiative takes energy. It does take energy, and having a really blind faith that what you are doing is the right thing to do. I'm suggesting that once you get on that path, not that there won't be a detour or two, but if you firmly believe in something, have the initiative to carry it all the way through. I've said this before, I'm sure I'll say it again. Really, it's not about winning and losing, it's about the effort. It's about intent. Maybe that'll be a first word next week. Intent matters. And if you firmly believe in something, if you're passionate about it, if you know that it will be the game changer, then make sure you sustain the initiative it took to get up and take that first step. I do believe the first step is the hardest part. Your mind will play tricks on you. People will take jabs at you. But as long as you have the proper, strong initiative, you'll do well. Today's first word is initiative.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off for second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field is deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they play Red Wings.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
Absolutely, and we're going to give you some knowledge to drop later on today. I say good morning to the one and only Anthony. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Feeling like an MVP this morning.
Well, you should. Well, at least you should feel like somebody that lives in a city that has an MVP, because we do. Miguel Cabrera won the MVP last night for the American League and Major League Baseball. 2 years in a row, a Detroit Tiger wears that crown. Not a bad deal.
No, that makes us look pretty good, doesn't it?
Sure it does. Sure it does. Now, I don't know how we top that.
World Series.
Okay. Do we go for a third? Do we go for another MVP next year? I mean, I'm okay with that.
We have the star power to do it.
Yeah, we really do have the star power to do it. And well, first of all, let us congratulate Miguel Cabrera, who I watched an interview that he did after it was announced. He had his three kids with him. Did you see that by chance?
No, I didn't.
His kids are so cute. Oh my God, they were just so cute. But yes, he was just absolutely thrilled. I always love it when an athlete that gets an honor like this treats it like an honor, that feels totally humbled by it. I don't like it when they're all professional and, you know, I want to give it up to God. Want to thank my coaches. He was really giddy, happy, silly, happy, kid happy. It was great.
I still haven't seen the video, so I got to go back and watch that.
Yeah, it was great. I did notice you purchased a triple crown patch.
Yes, One of my buddy Tony, he bought a jersey and I got a patch for him.
Oh, well, that was nice. I thought it was for you. But even nicer that you bought it as a gift for somebody else. So, anyway, Miguel Cabrera wins. Justin Verlander won last year. And actually, looking at the MVP voting, it wasn't really close with Mike Trout.
No, he got 22 of the 28 votes, I believe.
Yep.
And that's pretty insane. I think that puts the debate down on who was the better player this season, at least nationally, because Trout seemed to have the, what'd you call it? He was the fan favorite, it seemed like, to win the MVP, but the sports writers across the country picked Cabrera.
Yeah, they truly did, and it's not that Mike Trout didn't. I mean, he picked up a great award in Rookie of the Year in the American League. That's something to be very, very proud of. And there's no question when you stack statistics up to statistics, you look at the success of each individual team. Miguel Cabrera was the better ball player. I think that, you know, statistically.
But his WAR.
Oh, well, yeah. But I still don't get it. I've heard it explained 5 times, and I still don't get it.
Yeah, I really have no idea. I don't know.
Well, you know, baseball is a statistics junkie's wet dream. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. They, you know, if you're into statistics, baseball's the game for you. And one of the writers in the Detroit Free Press says, I'm sure right now they're working on what color underwear you were wearing when you hit your home runs as a statistic, because, you know what, they just seem to come up with more, and especially in baseball, more and more and more statistics. I never saw the movie Moneyball. Is that what that's all about, stats?
It was the start of the sabermetrics system. I don't know.
See, you should be talking Swahili right now, because I didn't even understand the sabermetric system.
It's not the war and all that. It's how they scouted players. It's completely kind of different.
Okay, well, whatever. When we come back, we've got some football. I just don't get it. We've got some football to take a look at. We'll get first shift going underway. So let's put it in gear. Let's get to the break. 888-552-3595. Michigan State, Lions, all of that and more. When we continue, good Friday morning to you. We'll be right back.
First shift with Tony Triano.
There's no question about it, Tony. I always enjoy talking with you and meeting with you and sharing ideas. You do a great service to the community, and we're fortunate to have you on the air.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by World Wrestling Entertainment.
We still have that closure of 75 southbound between South Huron River Drive and Newport Road. That's due to that tanker accident. And on 75 northbound, just before South Huron Drive, that left lane is blocked. That's due to that accident on 75. 94 westbound at 26 mile, overturned vehicle has your left lane blocked, and traffic is getting by in the right lane only. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Don't miss your favorite superstars at WWE Survivor Series this Sunday at 8 p.m. live on pay-per-view from Xfinity. To order, go to Xfinity.com/WWE or press menu twice on your remote.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 49. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock, and welcome back. Well, as I said before the break, we've got some football this weekend as we inch ever closer. It's hard to even say this to the end of the college football season. It's coming up quicker than we would like to imagine.
Don't say it.
I'm sorry, it's true. It's true, but let's start with Northwestern at Michigan State. Michigan State is at home. Anthony, I don't see that it helps them at all. The 7-3 Northwestern football team comes into play. The 5-5 Michigan State Spartans. I got to give this one to Northwestern by at least 10 points. Sorry, but it's the truth.
Northwestern is the Michigan State killers. I mean, if you remember the past couple of years, as good as Michigan State has been, Northwestern always seems to give them some sort of trouble. But I'm going to have to go with Michigan State this week because I don't know, I'm feeling it, Michigan State.
All right, well, I'm not feeling it, and I don't think that they have the offensive firepower to do it. And Northwestern does play tough. It's not just because they have a better record. I do believe that they are a better football team, even though Michigan State is at home. I don't see that that saves them. And, Anthony, what is up with the student body at Michigan State that they can't sell out their stadium?
I don't understand that at all, especially how much they pride themselves on their football team and how much they're the big brother now and how much better they are than Michigan. So,
and they don't, I mean, they have not, I mean, there have been a couple games this year they didn't come close to selling out. I mean, they had, you know, 10,000 seats empty.
Is that on the students or is that on the alumni?
Students. Well, no, it's the student section, so we've got to put it on the students.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah.
I don't get it. I don't know how much the tickets are. Maybe they're cost prohibitive, but I know the student tickets do cost less than the other ones, and I would imagine they'd love to cut them loose to anybody that'll take it. There's nothing worse than being at home and seeing empty seats in your stadium on national television, but oh well, it is what it is. All right, Michigan, the University of Michigan. Iowa comes in on senior day. Now, we do know Devin Gardner will be starting tomorrow. At least that's what we're hearing, that perhaps Denard Robinson will get one play in as an encore because it will be the last game at Michigan Stadium for the senior quarterback. I'll let you go ahead and pick first in this one, eh?
This Denard Robinson problem must have been a lot more serious than we thought it
was.
Well,
I know what it is now. You know the surgery I had on my elbow?
Yeah.
Same thing, ulnar nerve. And it causes, if you'll remember mine, it causes pain and numbness. And that's a problem when it's in your throwing arm and you can't feel the football.
Are they saying his football career is over?
No, they're just saying it's taking a while to heal. I don't know if he needs surgery. They haven't said that. But if they do, hopefully he'll have a better surgeon than I did.
Okay. Well, back to the game. Michigan against Iowa. Iowa had a really, really good start. I believe they were 4-0. And they've lost every game since, and they're just going to keep... Michigan's got to come out on top. This is a game where we're going to at least get a 10-point victory.
I'd have to agree with you. And listen, we've got a... Devin Gardner has shown us a lot, has he not? He can run. He can throw. He shows mobility. He is the better quarterback. They do have the better football team. We still have one of the top defenses in the country. No question Michigan walks away being 8-3 after this week by at least 10 points. So I have to agree with you wholeheartedly there, and that brings us to Sunday, Anthony. Dun, dun, dun. Green Bay Packers come in to play the Detroit Lions, and as bad as I want to pick my Lions, as bad as I need to pick my Lions, as difficult as it is to pick against my Lions, the Lions are not as good as the Green Bay Packers. And unfortunately, as much as Detroit, and this is a must-win for them, and this one is a must-win, they don't win it. Detroit loses by at least 14 points to the Green Bay Packers.
Wow, you're not even giving them a shot.
Nope.
Well, if we do win this game, we are back within one game of the Packers, which would pretty much put us right back in the playoff race, but I don't see us beating them either. Even with Clay Matthews out, even with Greg Jennings, who's been out, the Packers are just a better football team. They're a championship football team, and we're not. And we're definitely not playing like one, so I'll take the Packers as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. And I, you know what? I would feel differently about this if... Scott Linehan, who is the offensive coordinator, shows some creativity in the first half. He does not do that. We had this conversation last Monday. Why do they always wait to the second half and even worse, the fourth quarter, before they get creative, before they open up the offense, before they get aggressive? I don't get it. I'll never get it. Why don't you just play the entire game that way? It's beyond me. And I know, Anthony, a lot of teams script their first 10 or 20 plays. You got to learn how to throw that stuff out if it's not working, don't you agree?
Yeah, you can only stick to the plan, your game plan, so much. I don't get why their game plan is what it is, but they need a re-script. Maybe it's time for changes in the offseason, I don't know, but we got too many talented players to be doing what we're doing out
there.
Yeah,
you're right, and we do have a lot of talent on this Detroit Lions football team. We're just not using them properly, and I don't know if it's the head coach or the position coaches. I don't know if it's the offensive coordinator. I certainly don't think it's the defensive coordinator, although our defense could play better. Our secondary has been a mess, and if they don't focus on the defense in this offseason, then Jim Schwartz does have to go. I don't care how much influence Martin Mayhew has over those picks, it's got to stop. All right, well, that's what we've got. We'll let you know, of course, on Monday how right or wrong we were. Again, the only game that we disagree with each other on is the Michigan State Northwestern game, so we'll see which one of us was right. I think Anthony's keeping some kind of statistics in our season. Are you?
Yep. I didn't update him from last week yet, but... We're pretty much neck and neck. One of us has a game lead over the other.
And it's you.
Okay.
It is you. So that's fine.
Real quick, back to Denard. We win this week and we go to Ohio State and play in the Horseshoe next week. Who starts if Denard's back?
If Denard's back, then Denard starts.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Certainly he's earned that right. It's not like we downgrade by going with him. We don't. He's a very different kind of quarterback. But I don't know that he's going to be back. His college football career may be over. The ulnar nerve injury is not something that heals quickly. And so I don't really know how bad it is, but it's bad enough where they haven't played him. So I don't know. But, you know, I think that you're leaning towards letting Devin Gardner play out the year, right?
If he has another big game this week, I don't know if you can like mess up the flow of what we've been going with. I mean, we've played really good with him, and he's changed up the offense to what we weren't doing before.
Well, the one thing that, you know, we were told is that once Denard Robinson was gone, Brady Hoke has an entirely different offensive scheme that he will install, and I believe it's what we're seeing with Devin Gardner, right?
Right, and he still has the ability to move around a little bit.
Right, absolutely. Well, we'll see what happens. Let's get to the break. Then when we come back, we're open lines for the rest of the show. We've got some audio that we want to get to as well. One in particular, a congressman from New York, a Democrat, Gary Ackerman, got a little bit pissed off yesterday, and we're going to get to that audio. You've got to hear what he said to the Republicans because it's true, and it's about time someone said it. 888-552-3595. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
We just picked up a new accident on 275 southbound at 94. It's on the ramp to 94 eastbound. And we're still watching a closure of 75 southbound between South Huron River Drive and Newport Road. Accident involving a tanker truck. And you can detour west off of the interstate to Telegraph Road. South to 275, then south back to 75. And we have another accident on 94 westbound at U.S. 23 that's blocking your left lane. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The one and only Honey Baked. Only Honey Baked hams and turkey breasts are fire glazed and slow smoked. And only Honey Baked makes Thanksgiving this delicious and convenient with new Honey Baked Express locations in Warren, Shelby Township, and Port Huron. For more Honey Baked Express locations or a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 49. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW. www.ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
Two heroes emerged at the polls this year, and neither was named Barack or Mitt. Their names are Galicia and Ken, ordinary Americans with extraordinary civic spirit. While about 40% of eligible voters didn't bother to cast their ballots this year, these two demonstrated that our right to vote is not something to take lightly, especially at a time when Republican officials in several states are going to extremes to deny millions of citizens that right. Galicia Malone, 21 years old, was making an urgent trip to the hospital Tuesday morning because she was about to give birth to her first child. Her water had broken and her contractions were 5 minutes apart, so there was no time to waste. But Galicia points out that the opportunity to vote also ought not be wasted, so contractions be damned, she stopped at her polling place in a Chicago suburb and patiently went down the entire ballot, determined to be counted in her first election. Ignoring her pains, Galicia says, "I was just trying to read and breathe. This is my first baby, a girl, and I wanted to make a good impression. I want to have a story to tell her." Having proudly delivered her vote, she then drove herself to the hospital and delivered her baby. Now that's a story. Ken Knight of Buda, Texas, is another diehard voter. Literally. Sadly, Ken died from cancer the morning of Election Day. But the previous Friday, the last day of early voting, his wife and several friends lifted him, his wheelchair, and two tanks of oxygen into a van and drove him to City Hall. "He was hell-bent on voting," Amy Knight says of her husband. "It was a driving force for him." Her only regret was that she forgot to get an "I voted" sticker for Ken's ride home. This is Jim Hightower saying, so spare me any whining about voting being a pain or too much of a bother for you.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. Tweet.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women who put in a hard day's work every day. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. We're just getting word this morning that...
Katrina on George Bush was. They just seem to have an amnesia or they said rhymnesia. every time I listen to these guys, I'm saying, do they understand that it's history out here and recent history too? It's not like it's ancient history; it's recent history, and they seem to forget every time they open their mouth that they have a history out here that we can check on. It's easy to check fact check now with the invention of internet.
It's really sad what the Republican Party has become. They are the party of lying. They are the party of no. They are the party of revisionist history. I mean, they are the party of everything that's wrong with the country right now.
Well, see, and I hope we do have a lot of smart people, Americans, since we voted President Obama back in office. So, you know, that's some hope for the country. You know, and I hope that the Republican Party should feel ashamed of themselves, how we being shown across the country, across the world, that we have a people in our city, in our state, that feel that got that racist tension. That's what I feel, Tony, being an African American man. I'm feeling racism at the highest level here.
Oh, wait, right, it's out there. That I mean, you're feeling it because it's real. You're feeling it because it's out there. You're feeling it because there are politicians that continue to care more about taking care of their white masters than they are about taking care of their constituents. It's real less because they continue to disenfranchise minorities and minority voters. It's real because they don't care about anything selfishly but themselves. That's why you feel it, because it's real.
You've been around the block a few times, you know. Now, what makes them think that they can bring in a guy like me to their party or anybody else that they've talked about and dogged about since I've been knowing they existed, the Republican Party? How can I, in good conscience, join a party of hatred like that?
You can't, and I don't think they care, but they need to care because, you know, this goes back to the conversation we had the other day about relevancy, about how they're going to rebrand themselves. I'm more concerned about them rebranding themselves than about relevancy, because they're not relevant at this point. But when you start using marketing terms, and that's what branding is, a marketing term, my brother, they can say anything. We know they do that. Can we trust them is the point? And I don't think we can trust them. I don't think that, honestly, I don't think they care about blacks or Asians or Jews or Latinos. They don't care about them. Now, they care about their vote. They care about getting the vote, but they don't care about you as people. They don't care about your agenda. They don't care about the way you've been oppressed. And they're going to be happy to continue to provide oppression to any of those constituencies moving forward, lest they just don't freaking care.
Well, I grew up on Russell and Mack, next to an Italian family, who a guy that I know worked at Superior Potato Chips, and he didn't have a racist bone in because he brought chips home. Now, how can I feel racism against white folks when this white man used to, you know, just give us stuff and talk to us?
And listen, the vast majority of us, Les, get along just fine. The vast majority, it's those that we elect to represent us that continue to uphold the racist attitudes. They don't pass laws that are colorblind. They don't talk like they're colorblind. They don't act like they're colorblind. If they let you and I run things, and I'm not saying this out of ego, brother, things would be fine.
Well, I'll vote for you, Tony. I know.
I'm not running for anything.
met you in Lansing, I felt the vibe. I guess that old 70 friend. I felt the vibes from you, man, coming off strong. You got a little soul in you too. I can tell.
Well, I appreciate that, but I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not running for anything. I might be running from something, but I'm not running for anything. I did it once. I'm done. My brother, have a great weekend. It was nice to talk to you. 888-552-3595. Les is the real deal. I had a chance to meet him in Lansing in person. He's a great, great guy. Let's take a quick break here. Talk about Republicans. Let's talk about Ohio. We talked about the Ohio Secretary of State yesterday, the Republican Secretary of State. What about the Republican legislature in Ohio? What are they trying to do? Well, when you hear it, it's not going to surprise you, but apparently they didn't get the memo. The Republicans lost on November 6th. It's time to change the conversation, you asshats. A quick break. We'll come back, wrap up this hour on the other side.
Recently on First Shift.
I proudly believe that the people of the great state of Michigan, every working family in this state, deserves better than they're getting. I'm never going to apologize for that.
First Shift with Tony Trio on 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million, and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Trio on 1310 WDTW.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. SK Energy Shots make the switch to a better source of energy. Available at GNC, CVS, and your local retailers.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Become informed, learn the truth, stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW 1310 AM, and it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Wow, it's going to be one of those mornings. Just got word that Helen Milliken, the former First Lady of the state of Michigan, has passed away at the age of 89. Now, Helen has been sick for a very long time. Certainly somebody that I have a great deal of respect for, the entire Milliken family, and it's very sad. She said cancer, like I said, has been sick for a long time, but just received word that she has now passed away. So Sonny Elliott and Helen Milliken, as we begin our morning, we can stop there. We can stop there, truly. Anyway, 888-552-3595. Not the way I expected to start the morning, to be honest with you. Okay, let's move on. In the state of Ohio, there's a House Bill 298 that would be about as anti-women as you want. Now, I said before the break, perhaps the Ohio legislature didn't get the memo, but progressives won on November 6th. Is that going to stop them? Chances are, no. Let's listen to this from The Edge Show.
Ohio Republicans are pushing an extremist agenda just 1 week after an election in which voters reelected President Obama and reaffirmed progressive ideals. Well, they didn't get the memo in Ohio. Today, a House committee approved a bill to essentially defund Planned Parenthood. House Bill 298 passed on a party line vote. There's a closer shot of the T-shirt, so you get the picture. It's not just about Planned Parenthood. Ohio Republicans also want to revive the so-called heartbeat bill, which would unconstitutionally ban all abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected. On election day, 56% of Ohioans said that they believe abortion should be legal all or most of the time. Joining me again tonight is Ohio State Senator Nina Turner. Senator, great to have you with us tonight. I guess your T-shirt says it all. What the heck is going on in Ohio? I mean, they just haven't got the message. Is this going to pass, to defund Planned Parenthood?
It will, Ed, unless God himself comes down here, and even that I'm not so sure. You know, the GOP will not be satisfied until women are barefoot, pregnant, and back home by 5 o'clock p.m. to cook dinner. And as one of my Twitter fans put, back in the binders. You know, it makes absolutely no sense. They don't want women to have any choices or any voices. This is not about whether somebody is pro-abortion or pro-choice. This is about whether or not women will have the preventative care services that they deserve and they need. This is about our sisters, our daughters, our mothers, our aunts, and an ideology that has gone absolutely wrong. And I've said it many times before. I am absolutely unequivocally convinced that the Republicans have lost their ever-loving mind.
All right. Great segment, by the way, Ed. Great segment. You know, having just spent the evening with Planned Parenthood and their supporters and advocates, it seems unconscionable that we would continue to, and I liked what State Senator Nina Turner had to say. It will pass the House. I don't know that it passes the Senate. I don't know that the governor will sign it, but it is just another example of how outmoded and outdated beliefs are still entrenched in establishment white politicians. And that's what this is really all about. I mean, it is really what this is all about. We're going to continue to keep an eye on these issues. But again, the voters in Ohio voted for President Obama for a reason. They believe in his progressive ideas, his progressive agenda. They believe in the opportunities that an Obama administration provides to Ohioans, not what the Republicans are trying to literally ram down the throats of women. You can't, folks, you can't treat women this way. You just can't do it. And I don't know if we got to go to Ohio to protest. I'm ready to go. I'm absolutely ready to go. All right, let's take a look at, I want to do some good news before we get out of here today, before we get out of this hour anyway. Chrysler is going to be expanding up to 1,250 jobs in here in the Detroit area. This is awfully good news. This next piece of audio comes from WXYZ TV Channel 7. This is what they had to say.
Oh, that's outstanding. That's very good.
Workers at Chrysler's Warren Truck Plant welcoming the good news. 1,000 new jobs coming to their assembly facility in March, adding confidence to the jobs they've already got.
It means that we're going to keep our jobs because we're doing good. Profits are up.
It means a lot more than just 1,000. It probably means 10,000 of jobs. When it cycles through to the suppliers and and the other vendors around the area. So that is great news for the whole area.
Chrysler's been really good to us, so we're happy. We're happy here.
2 years ago, Maria and her family opened up Motor City Sports Bar and Grill right across from Warren's Truck Plant, a gamble that's paid off for them, their employees, and others they too expect to hire.
It means bigger, you know, more employees, hiring more employees, more business for us, more business for the city. It just keeps the city of Warren going with, you know, like I said, it has a effect on everybody. You know, Chrysler hires, all the little people feel it too.
Warren's Mayor Jim Faust says no doubt the 1,000 new jobs to their city is quite a boost. He says with the economic downturn, it felt like they were in the epicenter, and now it feels like they're in the center of the resurgence.
It's great. Good job security, a lot of people underneath you. Works out for everybody.
In Warren, Kimberly Craig, 7 Action News.
All right. Thank you, Kimberly Craig. Appreciate that. And let me just try to get this last piece of audio in before the break at the top of the hour. Federal Court of Appeals, Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, has struck down Michigan's law that would have banned affirmative action in sending our young men and women to college. Listen to this.
The University of Michigan was sued by Gratz and another student for giving minorities a 20-point head start over other applicants, and in the end, the Supreme Court agreed with Gratz, calling the university system unconstitutional. It led the way for MCRI, the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, overwhelmingly approved by Michigan voters in 2006. It says universities in this state and other public entities cannot use race for preferential treatment in admissions or hiring. And tonight, a federal appeals court panel in an 8-7 vote is overturning the law.
We're thrilled. Today's landmark decision is a tremendous victory for racial justice and access to democracy.
The ACLU and others sued to overturn the law. Gratz reached tonight in Florida says the decision is flawed.
I think it's outrageous. I think that the, with all due respect to the court, they do not have the right to overturn the will of the people and to declare equality unconstitutional in the state of Michigan.
Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette says it's not over. He will be appealing to the Supreme Court to hear this case, saying, quote, we are prepared to take the fight for quality, fairness, and the rule of law to the Supreme Court.
All right, that'll do it. We'll take a break for the top of the hour. This is a conversation we'll obviously revisit. NBC News coming up. Stay where you're at. First Shift continues right here on this Friday program after the top of the hour break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
You just picked up a new accident on 275 southbound at 94. It's on the ramp to 94 eastbound. And we're still watching that closure of 75 southbound between South Huron River Drive and Newport Road. Accident involving a tanker truck. And you can detour west off of the interstate to Telegraph Road. South is 275, then south back to 75. And we have another accident on 94 westbound at US 23 that's blocking your left lane. That's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 49. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Richard Louie. Mideast on the brink as Israelis and Palestinians brace for a possible ground war in the Gaza Strip. NBC's Martin Fletcher.
Israel's main goal, apart from eliminating the militant Islamic leadership of Hamas, has been to destroy Hamas's rocket capability.
Hundreds of missiles have been launched by both sides. President Obama back from New York, where he spent time with victims of Superstorm Sandy.
Most of the folks that I met here have been here 20, 30, 50 years.
They don't want to see their community uprooted.
The president vowing the feds will be there until the rebuilding is complete. Still bearish on Wall Street, stock futures point to a lower open. And if you belly up to the bar too often, your belly's going to show it. According to a new study that says moderate drinkers add about 300 calories a day from booze. At that rate, your diet could end up on the rocks. This is NBC News Radio. Former CIA Director David Petraeus is getting ready to field questions from lawmakers today about the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. NBC's Kelly O'Donnell.
He'll be behind closed doors, and he will be talking about what lawmakers have just seen. Lawmakers were shown real-time film from the actual assault in Benghazi, from drones, from surveillance.
Meanwhile, President Obama kicks off talks with congressional leaders on taxes and spending, efforts to avert the so-called fiscal cliff. Buying a home more affordable this week as mortgage interest rates hit a new low, 3.34% on a 30-year loan. But Fed Chair Ben Bernanke says banks are holding back the economy by withholding home loans to qualified borrowers. And making the switch to Windows 8? Not so fast. A new survey says a third of Windows users who are ready to buy a new PC say they may switch to Apple rather than move to Windows 8, calling the new operating system cumbersome. I'm Richard Louie, NBC News Radio.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze, smothered in a savory gravy with a tasty side of... Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store!
Stock up on Stouffer's Meals for One at your convenient Dollar General store.
Dave Davis here with a Channel 5 traffic report. There's not much movement down there. I mean, none. Where's everyone heading? The mall?
Prep your car for holiday travel and check gifts off your list today at Sears Auto Center. Right now, get a conventional oil change for just $21.99 and a complimentary battery check. Plus, receive a $5 coupon to shop while you wait. This is being prepared. This is Sears Auto Center. Stop by or visit SearsAuto.com for more offers and coupons. Valid for most vehicles regularly. $29.99 coupon valid through 11/24. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
The old ad slogan was fall into the gap, but these days falling and gap are not in the same thought. Gap releasing earnings, a much bigger than expected 60% jump. Sales increased across all three chains, the namesake, Banana Republic, and Old Navy. A general slowdown in demand for traditional PCs, both desktop and laptop, have dragged on the company considered by many the uncatchable leader a decade ago. Dell is reporting a 47% drop in earnings for the third quarter. More people are taking supplements, and more people already taking supplements are taking more supplements. That fact has sparked a bidding war for Schiff, maker of Move Free for joint pain, Mega Red for heart health, and a stack of other brands. Reckitt Benckiser has offered $1.4 billion for Schiff. That trumps an earlier bid by Bayer Incorporated. Stock futures down. S&P futures losing 4, NASDAQ futures down 5, most European markets in the red as well. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
My Mercedes-Benz dealership has a courtesy car waiting for me. It's easy for me
to... I come in, they always use Mercedes-Benz genuine parts.
And they always have my favorite coffee. I just feel so comfortable.
Personal attention and exceptional customer care. As a Mercedes-Benz owner, it's what you deserve and what you'll get.
My smooth ride.
My genuine sense.
My comfort zone. My service.
To learn more, visit mbusa.com/myservice.
Services vary. Available at participating dealers.
They say music is a universal language, but when I was in an accident, I was worried the healthcare system spoke a language all its own. But with United Healthcare, I got help that fit my life. Information on my phone, connection to doctors who get where I'm from, tools to estimate what my care may cost. So I never miss the beat.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for more than 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare. Learn more at uhc.com.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
And right now, get 50% off photo cards and invitations. No coupon needed. Limited time only. Details in-store and at staples.com. Staples. That was easy.
important message from Medicare. It's Medicare open enrollment, now through December 7th. Time to compare plans. Happy with your current one? You can always keep it, but it never hurts to look. And check out the preventive benefits you get after the healthcare lock, with no co-pays or deductibles, like a yearly wellness visit. Savings, too, like over 50% off brand-name prescriptions in the donut hole. Medicare open enrollment. Now's the time. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Solidarity. A union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union. The state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice. The administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness. Free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality. The state of quality being equal. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. It's about freaking time.
And welcome, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday, the 16th day of November 2012. And if you are just joining us, a couple pieces of sad news this morning. Weatherman extraordinaire Sonny Elliott passed away early this morning in his Farmington Hills home. And former First Lady Helen Milliken died as well early this morning in her Traverse City home. Both of them will be sorely missed for very different reasons. Helen Milliken, for those of you that don't remember her or don't know of her, was a rare Republican. She was certainly not a conservative Republican, a champion of women's rights, a pro-women activist. She was also very pro-environmental. They don't make Republicans like the Millikens anymore. Sadly enough, Helen will be sorely missed, and I'm sure our former governor, the longest-serving governor of the state of Michigan, Bill Milliken, is feeling great pain this morning. Our thoughts and prayers go out to both of the families with their devastating losses on this Friday morning. All right, with that said, I am happy to bring my next guest on, not only because we've got an important topic today, but as I announced the other day and put on Facebook yesterday, beginning next Friday, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock will join our stable of regular guests. And, well, I don't really care what we talk about. He's just good radio. He's a good friend, and I feel just connected to him in a way that you want to share that with other people. So let us welcome back this morning the president of Rainbow Push Michigan and the president of the Highland Park NAACP, Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. Reverend Bullock, it's all, as always, a pleasure to have you with us this morning.
Tony T., good morning to you.
How are you, my brother?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I want to tell you, I'm excited about being alive.
I know you are, which is why I'm so excited that beginning next Friday at 8 o'clock, you will be with us on a weekly basis. I'm honored that you would even consider it, let alone say yes to that, and so I very much look forward to sharing you with this audience on a regular basis. I think that everybody is better served when Reverend Bullock is in the house.
Well, you know what, Tony? I appreciate that. I mean, I feel like I'm joining the Justice League. You know, I'm just happy to have been invited to be a part of the great movement that is the great radio that you do. You keep us engaged and informed, and we're excited about being on your show once a week, and just and encouraging and inspiring people as well.
Absolutely. You were up in Lansing yesterday, Reverend Bullock. Why don't you tell my audience a little bit about what was going on up there?
Well, we went to Lansing actually a couple times. Started on Tuesday, spent all day there Tuesday, and then went back yesterday because there is a situation now that we have repealed Public Act 4, as we expected. There are a lot of legal loopholes and maneuvering in place to try to circumvent the victory that we won by reinstating the people's will and protecting democracy. Specifically as it relates to the Detroit public school system and what is known as the Educational Achievement Authority, or the EAA. Now, many of your listeners may know that the EAA is a new statewide school district that has been created basically by the will of the governor that takes the lowest performing schools in Detroit and then eventually around the state of Michigan and moves them into a second statewide district. It was kicked off. off in Detroit with about 15 schools. And so its basis was basically the power that Public Act 4 gave the emergency manager. Now that Public Act 4 is gone, there is no legislative basis for the creation of a separate statewide school district that takes assets from the Detroit Public Schools, that takes students from the Detroit Public Schools, that has an experimental curriculum, an online computer curriculum, so it minimizes the role of teachers. And also in the wake of all of this, the Attorney General and the emergency manager and the governor are saying that the elected school board of DPS were elected illegally, that in fact they are not elected representatives for the school board. And so we were in Lansing because they were trying to, are trying to put a bill in place now that will actually create a legal basis for the EAA. Although the EAA already exists in practice, it has no legal basis in the state of Michigan. And so we were there keeping an eye on that process, and we're beginning to organize now because this is just another attempt at state takeover, taking away local control, at selling and seizing assets. And it is just a continuation of the fight against emergency management that we began many, many months ago.
Well, you know, and Reverend Bullock, as we discussed this in some detail with your friend David Hecker with the American Federation of Teachers Michigan yesterday, you know, one of the restrictions on this Educational Achievement Authority, and I want people to follow my line of thinking here. Let's say we were forced to close a school, and I don't care, in Midland. That school district has to maintain that building. They have to heat it. They have to repair it. They have to make sure that it's in working order. And if a for-profit school comes in and wants to buy it, they are forced to sell those assets without literally any competitive bidding, without any conversation, and without any legal footing to do that. They are forced to do it. And here's the problem, Reverend Bullock. We don't even know if the EAA is going to work.
Oh, not at all. I mean, this is experimenting with black and brown children at its worst. I mean, it reminds me of the worst kind of historical atrocities of government experimentation, like the Tuskegee experiment, where the federal government injected STDs into African-American males just to study them and see how it went. I mean, that was heinous, and you would think that the government would not be experimenting with people who were vulnerable. But, of course, the EAA has no track record. It's an experimental curriculum. The assets of the public school system can be seized, as you said, without any competitive bidding process. But more than that, you have a state mandated. If this legislation passes, basically the law will be that school districts have no decision-making power over whether or not their buildings and their students are seized by the EAA. And then also, who are the teachers in this new district? These are not typically teachers with long seniority. In fact, in Detroit, they're using Teach for America teachers, and so there are issues about collective bargaining and union busting. I mean, those issues remain with us. I mean, so on one hand, you've got the seizure of assets. You've got an anti-collective bargaining impulse as it relates to the employment. And then you've got an experimental educational curriculum where students are basically learning at a computer and teachers are almost minimized or seen as useless. And so this seems to be setting our children and our district up for failure.
You know, it seems to me counterintuitive that if you are building a model of education that is a for-profit model, does that really serve what the foundational foundational principles of education are all about? Are we serving the child? Are we really empowering them with the right education? How do we attract the best and brightest teachers if we're more concerned about really attracting the best and brightest students? Because as we know, in these for-profit schools, they don't have to take developmentally challenged children. They don't have to take low-achieving children. They can pick and choose almost as if we're playing kickball on recess. The strongest ones get picked. The other ones have to go play somewhere else.
No, you're right. I mean, anytime you put profit over people, I think you have a problem. And when education becomes more about the bottom line than reading, writing, and arithmetic, then that's a recipe for disaster. You know, in the EAA, it was very, very interesting because as we were there listening to the deliberation in Lansing, they have a standard they're proposing where there won't be any grades or real hard assessment. All that will be happening with these students is that they will be tracked based upon the work that they do on a computer. And so what that means, Tony, is that if I'm reading at a first grade level and I'm in the third grade and I'm in the EAA, well, then there's no time period. There's no a real hard standard of accountability by which that district, that school, the school or the teachers have to improve my reading level. So if it takes me 16 months to improve my reading level from first to third, and I'm in the third grade, well, then that's okay. If it takes 6 months, that's okay. If it takes 9 months, that's okay. If it takes 48 months, that's okay. And so this seems to be a recipe for disaster. How can you prepare students for a competitive, globalized economy if you put them in a school district that has no standards to hold teachers and the district, the students and the parents accountable for learning and for learning development? If it's okay for me to take 48 months to be able to read, to write, and to do mathematics on the appropriate grade level, well, then I'm going to enter behind, I'm going to stay behind, and I'm going to leave behind.
All right, hold that thought. We got to get to the break. We'll come back. It's a good place to pick it up on the other side. The Reverend D. Alexander Bullock is my guest. Feel free to join us, 888-552-552-3595. I'm stunned. I mean, it's amazing. 6004. Keep that in mind. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Out of all the nastiness I've seen in the day, you were one of the few that's very honest, that's very sincere, and very true to heart. People like you, Carl Levin, and Debbie Stabenow are good for this state.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by World Wrestling Entertainment.
Got some good news for your commute. 75 southbound between South Huron River Drive and Newport Road. That accident has been cleared and all lanes are now open. But we do have an accident, 275 southbound on the ramp to 94 eastbound. 94 westbound at US 23. Another accident has your left lane blocked and traffic is stop and go from Huron. And we got those railroad crossings that are still down on 23 Mile Road west of Chesterfield. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Don't miss your favorite superstars at WWE Survivor Series this Sunday at 8 p.m. live on pay-per-view from Xfinity. To order, go to Xfinity.com/WWE or press menu twice on your remote.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 49. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
22 minutes after the hour, my guest, Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, we are talking about House Resolution 6004, which would create and expand, actually not create, it would expand the Educational Achievement Authority. And as we spoke on the show yesterday and as we spoke on the show just in the last segment, you know, these are things, Reverend Bullock, that sound great. The Educational Achievement Authority, but what it really is a legalized way to, I guess, to enforce and to expand racism in our schools, because as we take a look at the bottom 5% of schools, most of them are in communities of color, unfortunately.
That's right. I mean, this is, let's call it what it is. It's a power grab by the state. It takes away local control. It disenfranchises the elected school board, and it ghettoizes the school system. Because basically what you do is you take the bottom 5% of Michigan students. We know those are going to be typically low-income brown and black students, and you lump them into an educational ghetto. We should not be, one, taking away the elected representatives that the people elected, namely the school board. Lamar Lemons is the president. As a school board, we should not be disenfranchising the public school system, DPS, by taking 10 to 11,000 students out of DPS and creating another competitive statewide school district in addition to charter schools and private schools. We should not be experimenting on anybody's children with an educational curriculum and an educational model that has never been tested, that hasn't been tried. We don't know if it's going to be effective. But even more than that, we should not be creating an educational ghetto in Michigan where we lump all of the lowest performing students into a school district and basically say somehow they're going to be better off even though this district has no track record. But you know what, Tony, you know what I think is even more heinous than all of this? I think what's most heinous is that none of this really is about the students and about their families and about their neighborhoods. If a child has parents who are working, if a child has parents who are gainfully employed, if a child lives in a neighborhood that is stabilized, if a child lives in a city where there are recreational centers and recreational programs, if a child goes to a school district where there are computers and counselors and tutoring and everything that's available to them to help them learn, then they have what they need. You don't have to create a separate school district. Let's take the dollars that are being invested in experimenting on children and just invest them in the school districts that already exist and in the neighborhoods and cities that are already existing. Let's open up rec centers in Detroit. Let's get more counselors in the schools that are already in DPS. Let's get more computers in those schools. Let's have more teacher training. And let's just reinvest in the infrastructure that we already have.
Yeah, but see, the problem with what you're saying, and appreciate the way I'm presenting this, is that what you're talking about is true educational reform. What they're talking about is strictly a business decision. And it doesn't look like those paths want to cross in the mind of the governor, in the mind of this legislature. I want to remind this audience that it's the governor of the state of Michigan that is pushing this. It's not the legislature this time. It's our governor. Our governor is trying to break the back of public education.
Oh, you're right. You're right. And I think the whole conversation about education reform, how do we improve education, how do we raise the level of educational achievement, you know, across the state of Michigan and the nation. You know, I mean, this is a conversation that the people, that the labor movement, that pastors and other faith leaders and citizens, we need to really, really be engaged. I want to thank Helen Moore, who has been tirelessly fighting, Elena Harada, Lamar Lemons, and others, Reverend Ed Rowe, Maureen Taylor, so many activists, I mean, who have been on the front lines, who have not stopped. I want to thank the Michigan Citizen. I mean, they've been kind of covering, and not only covering, they've moved from covering to activism. And so we need more people to begin to look into the EAA. When we came together against emergency manager Tony, we fought back. They said we couldn't do it, and we won. But we won, but we're not done. They're still trying to take local control. They're still trying to seize assets. They're experimenting on our children in the name of education reform, busting unions. And at the end of the day, this cannot stand. And so I want to applaud all of those freedom fighters who have been fighting. And I want to encourage people who are listening to me today on First Shift to get engaged. This is something we're ramping up for. This legislation has not been passed. And so we are in the middle of the fight even to stop legislation that would even authorize the EAA.
Yeah, this lame duck session is dangerous, no question about it. Let's go to the phones very quickly and welcome Tony and Macomb. Tony, you're on the air with the Reverend Bullock.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Worst academic record in the country, 25% graduation rate, extreme budget deficit, and widespread corruption. The Detroit public schools have been failing the children for at least 15 years. If the local school boards and people like your guests were able to correct this problem, the governor wouldn't be involved. So how much longer are we going to allow this public school system in Detroit to fail these children?
Well, you know, Tony, let me stop you for a second. I want to go back to 1999, where the people of the city of Detroit passed a millage that the state of Michigan took that money away from the city of Detroit. Did not allow that school board to spend that money. Governor Engler attached that money to the state budget, took that money away, and from that point forward, the school board's hands were tied. You can't solve problems without a budget. And this is the way to solve this problem is to not privatize the school, Tony.
Well, you know what, Tony? Works in other areas. You look at the DMC, Vanguard's come in and infused capital.
But that's not education. Education is not private business.
No, but listen, there are so many examples of private schools that are doing excellent academically because if they didn't, the parents wouldn't pay the money. We need to try something.
But see, that's the difference. Okay, Tony, thank you for your call. That's the difference. And here's the problem, Reverend Bullock. If I'm sending my child to a private school, and I have every right to do that, if I want to spend $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year out of my pocket to do that, I have a right to do that. I don't have a problem with that. Now let's just get this. You, go ahead.
No, that's right. I mean, two things. One, the Detroit Public Schools has been under attack under Engler. I mean, if you look at what happened under Burnley and Robert Bob, I mean, there's a whole history of the state of Michigan messing up the DPS. But more than that, what people fail to realize, and you make a great point, education is not a private corporation. This is about children. And you can't stabilize the educational system without dealing with the lives and the families and the neighborhoods that the children live in. If I live out in the suburbs and I go to private school, $20,000 on my education, I come home, no potholes, I come home, there are police, there's fire, there are lights, there aren't drugs everywhere. I mean, that's a different kind of learning environment, both in the home and in the school. We must deal with the fact that state government has destroyed DPS and has also created the conditions to dismantle the very neighborhoods and shipping jobs through our trade policy from Michigan to Mexico, attacking manufacturing and collective bargaining. And so if we don't get families employed, if we don't stabilize neighborhoods, if we don't respect elected representation, if we don't reinvest in the infrastructure, this will not stand. We're going to destroy the very future and the resource in the state of Michigan.
We are just out of time, Reverend Bullock. We'll look forward to having you on next Friday as our regular segment begins. Thanks for your time. Let's get to the break, folks. A lot to get to, including the Sierra Club, when we come back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your Friday morning traffic. 94 westbound before US 23. Accident has your right shoulder blocked with stop and go traffic from US 12. 275 southbound, the ramp to 94 eastbound. Two car accident there. Slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. And you still have those railroad crossing gates in the down position on 23 Mile Road west of Chesterfield. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 49. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Hundreds of low-wage food and retail workers in Chicago Thursday launched a new union called the Workers Organizing Committee of Chicago as they rallied to push for a $15 an hour wage and a union contract. 200 worker leaders from 100 stores held the founding convention for the new union and then rallied and marched through Chicago's Magnificent Mile. Satoria Briggs spoke with Workers Independent News via cell phone from the rally in Chicago.
I mean, I just feel like it's time for, you know, the 99% to stand up. It's time that we stop sitting there and, you know, just accepting what is thrown in our laps. Because at the end of the day, we're the ones working the long hours, tired, beat, hungry. And, you know, it's a shame that I can work a week paid. Work for a weekend and I can't even make it to the next week. We have a worker here who's worked 26 years at McDonald's and still makes $8.25 an hour.
The workers say their fight for 15 hopefully will bring more scrutiny to the impact low-wage jobs have on families and communities nationwide. Wages are now so low for millions of workers around the U.S. that they are below the poverty line. A recent report written by the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign's Dr. Mark Dussard says 31.2% of workers aged 18 to 64 in Chicago are working in low-wage jobs. The Teamsters Union is recommending a secret ballot vote for members of the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco, and Grain Millers International Union at Hostess. The Teamsters say workers should be asked in the secret ballot vote whether they want to continue their strike and possibly force Hostess into liquidation. Hostess Brands said Wednesday that if it can't resume normal operations, it would have to begin a liquidation process. The Teamsters say it's not an empty threat or negotiating tactic, but a certain outcome if the BCTGM continues its strike. The Teamsters say they're trying to find a solution to preserve jobs. They say they're by and large respecting the striking union's picket lines when they encounter them. The Teamsters say that that strike, though, now is on the verge of forcing the company to liquidate. U.S. employers cut back on vacation days in 2012. Jesse Russell reports.
Employers are being less generous when it comes to vacation days in the United States. According to Expedia's vacation deprivation study, it was found that on average, U.S. workers were being offered 12 days of vacation in 2012 instead of the average 14 days in 2011. However, U.S. workers are also less likely to use all of their vacation time, with most only taking 10 days and sacrificing two as the year turns over to 2013. The United States is one of the few countries on the planet that doesn't require employers to provide minimum employment leave. On average, most countries give workers roughly 20 days off for vacation. Germany, France, Spain, and Brazil are the most generous, requiring that 30 or more days should be provided to workers.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-888-888. 855-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. I had said a little earlier on in the show that the Sierra Club is stepping up and doing something fundamentally quite important. They have sent a balloon, if you will, a little balloon out. They are sending a warning shot, but it's going to get, maybe going to get ugly. When I said, and I said, you know, think big, the DTE Energy received a notice from the Sierra Club and the Clean Coal Campaign that they are in violation. I said, think big. How many violations do you think we're talking about? And I said, think more than 200 or 300. I got a couple emails. Folks, you weren't even close. 1,330 Clean Air Act violations. And when you see that, when you understand the repercussions of that, and you understand how they're not being held accountable, when you see, as we did yesterday, although people didn't want to change the Constitution with respect to Proposal 3, they do believe, 73% of them anyway, in renewable energy, in clean energy. So how do we bridge this gap? Well, there's a way. And sometimes you have to bring attention. Sometimes you have to bring a lawsuit. Let's go to our guest. Joining us now is Brad Van Gilder. Brad is was with the Sierra Club. He is the organizing representative for the Clean Coal Campaign. And he joins us today to talk about this and other issues surrounding what is happening. And Brad, I want to thank you for joining us this morning on First Shift.
Great. Thank you for having me, Tony.
It is my pleasure. You know, this is a big deal, isn't it? This is a big deal. 1,330 Clean Air Act violations. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it is a very big deal. And this is at only three of DTE Energy's plants, and it's not across their entire fleet.
All right, so that people understand, why would you, because I think, you know, people, and I think a legitimate question, why would you send a letter saying, hey, we're giving you notice, we're going to sue you?
Well, it's actually required under the Clean Air Act. So if we want to actually defend Michiganders' right to clean air, we have to file a notice of intent to sue at least 60 days before we actually file the lawsuit itself. That's part of the federal law.
Well, again, this is a big deal, and this is a big problem. So let's talk about what we do moving forward. And I want to remind I'll go back to what I said during my opening. Although the voters didn't endorse Proposal 3, they did endorse the ideas or the fundamental values that Proposal 3 put out there. And so it's important that we understand that the people of the state of Michigan want clean energy. The people of Michigan want renewable energy. And the other side of that is DTE does not want that.
Yep. Well, DTE Energy is very heavily invested in coal as a way of generating electricity, and coal has very detrimental health effects, in terms of respiratory disease, heart attacks, and in terms of emissions, it's neurotoxins, especially mercury is a very big one. And so, because Michigan, the residents of Michigan understand that. We live in an area where we have toxic mercury warnings for fishing and all of our inland lakes and rivers, and that hampers our ability to enjoy the outdoors as well as the air pollution problems. So in order to, but DTE, as I was saying, is more heavily invested in coal than the average utility. They generate almost 80% of their electricity from the burning of coal, whereas the national average now has dropped below 40%.
Well, let's talk about where the three plants are that are being mentioned in this lawsuit.
So the three plants that are named in the lawsuit are two are in St. Clair County, and they're two plants that are basically right next to one another in St. Clair County. That's the St. Clair plant and the Bell River plant. And then probably very important for your listeners is the Trenton Channel plant, which is in Wayne County. And all of these plants, are very old plants. They were, for example, the Trenton Channel plant was built in the late 40s and early 50s with some upgrades in the 1960s.
Okay. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brad.
So, I mean, we're talking about some plants that have been around for a long time, and, you know, we really need to consider alternatives that are much much more healthy for us as residents of Michigan.
Well, and predictably, you know, DTE response to this is that the Sierra Club is just looking to grab some headlines, that they're investing billions of dollars in emissions filters, et cetera, et cetera. And that may all be true. Maybe you are just looking for headlines. Maybe they are installing this stuff. That doesn't mean we have clean air, and it doesn't mean that the air is safe, and it doesn't mean that people aren't getting sick. So I don't care if they think they've got a $1 or $2 billion Band-Aid to the problem. I know that's a lot of money, but, you know, honestly, Brett, it's not a lot of money to them.
Well, you know, we as the residents of Michigan have actually been paying a very high cost in terms of public health. And, you know, it's estimated that for asthma alone, residents of Wayne County in direct and indirect costs, it's costing them over $80 million per year in terms of health costs, lost days of work, lost school days. You know, it's a very high cost that we're paying for the continued burning of coal. And so there's alternatives that are cheaper, and we need to pursue those.
Well, let's talk about those alternatives that are cheaper, because here, let me get to lie number one. If we vote for Proposal 3, it'll cost us $12 billion. Lie. Lie.
You know, the thing is that DTE has to make investments in upgrading their plants no matter what. You know, so if they have to do that in order to upgrade pollution controls, they're going to have to make those investments because their plants are very old. The alternative is that we make those investments in clean renewable energy instead, that is going to be far more sustainable for us in the future and doesn't have all the negative consequences of continuing burning coal. And the thing is that $12 billion figure is, you know, doesn't take into account the fact that they would then be able to retire their coal plants and transition their workforce into, you know, actually working for a much cleaner, generation of electricity and much more sustainable over the long term. So it's about what we want as our future, and the cost that would actually be to residents would have been minuscule, very small. In fact, actually, DTE's wind farm that they built west of Saginaw, which is a 212-megawatt wind farm, the largest currently operating in Michigan, is actually generating electricity now that is cheaper than the electricity that's coming from their coal plant.
Oh, imagine that. Imagine that, which really does bring me to my next question. These are serious violations, and I don't want to suggest that the Sierra Club and the Clean Coal the Clean Energy Campaign is trying to bully DTE, because you don't bully DTE into doing anything. So I'm not suggesting that that's what's going on here. These are serious violations. These have dire health consequences. And you are not just trying to force their hand into clean energy. You're actually trying to get them to clean up their act.
Yeah, we want them to clean up their act, because our primary purpose, whether it's filing lawsuits, whether it's doing organizing, whether it's advocating for clean renewable energy, it's about public health. And these are very serious violations, because this particular lawsuit has to deal with emissions of primarily particulate matter. And so each of these instances are when they've exceeded the amount of particulate matter and other pollutants that lead to what's called opacity exceedances at their plants. And this is actually comes from data that is recorded by DTE at their own plants through their own monitoring system that's then reported to the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. So in the logs that go along with those exceedances, they also have to give a reason for it. And in many cases, those exceedances typically tend to be around startup and shutdown of a furnace. Particularly a little disturbing that the Trenton Channel plant in particular log many more minutes of these exceedances than the other two plants, and also that the named reasons for one of the stacks was actually not for startups and shutdowns, but actually for problems with their control equipment. That was actually the largest number of alleged violations. It has to do with their control equipment and not with any kind of startup or shutdown. And then also with having to, process issues of how the plant actually operates. So it really raises questions about, how well is that aging plant operating? And why would you want to continue to invest in an aging plant like that when you've got alternatives that are cheaper, that are going to be, profitable for the company as a way of producing electricity, as a public utility for the residents of Michigan? Why remain wedded to coal?
Well, that is the multi-billion-dollar question, is it not, Brand Van Gilder? Let me tell you, I'm going to continue to keep an eye on this. We will be checking in with you from time to time. I know DTE will do everything in their power to block everything you are doing. In the meantime, we can't let this happen. Let your legislature know that you're aware of this. Brad, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Great. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, folks. It's a bigger deal than you realize. Let's get to the break. We'll come back, talk more on the other side.
With Tony Tribbiano. Tonight, more than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing, that they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW. Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock. So here's the question I want to ask you. And in the context of what the Sierra Club is doing, what DTE is doing, if there was a problem, and there is. There's pollution. We know that as environmental standards changes, the testing changes to determine the amount of particulate matter in the air. As we can make the research-based decisions that, based on the increase in asthma, the increase in cancers, and so on and so forth, if we can make that connection, and we know that there's a solution to that problem, and there is a solution to that problem, it's, clean energy. You've got to ask this question. If the company that is responsible for creating the sickness, the illness, has the solution yet doesn't do anything to solve the problem, are they not an accomplice to murder? I'm not trying to be overly dramatic. I'm asking a legitimate question. Isn't it true that DTE then is an accomplice to murder? If you can solve a problem that is killing people, then ultimately, if you don't solve the problem, well, of course, they're not admitting that there's a problem, right? And that's the issue here. They don't admit that there's a problem, so they feel that they don't have any culpability. Well, so that's where the law comes in. That's where the lawsuit comes in. And I assure you that the Sierra Club is not doing this for headlines. It costs them money to do this stuff. So if you think, yeah, but they'll raise more money than it'll cost them, I don't know that that's true. I truly don't know if that's true. I just don't know. But I can't imagine that it is. I'm going to suggest that there isn't a one of you right now that said, you know what, I'm going to go write a check to the Sierra Club, help them pay for this. Not a one of you did that. But it begs the question. We have alternatives. We have alternatives. The Clean Coal Campaign, Renewable Energy Campaign, Wind, Solar, Water, blah, 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 blah. We can solve these problems, yet we don't. We know that there are people that are dying as a result of dirty air that comes out of the plants that DTE owns. Are they an accomplice to murder? It's just a question. Don't answer it if you don't want. But it's something we need to keep an eye on, and we will. I want to thank Brad Van Gilder again. You know, we've got another Dutchman coming up in the next hour, a Dennis Van Roekel. Yes, it's a van kind of day. All right, the city of Detroit, as y'all know, is having some severe financial problems, as y'all know. And the state has offered to help the city, and begs the question, does the city even want the help? You know, we know that the mayor's not on the same page with the city council. The city council's not on the same page with the mayor. The city council's not on the same page with the state. The state's not on the same page as the city council. The state is kind of on the same page of the mayor, and the mayor's kind of on the same page with the state. But this is a triangle that's not working. Let's get to some audio from WXYZ TV Channel 7 on what the state has offered to do for the city of Detroit.
There are two financial issues at stake at City Hall right now. The consent agreement between the city and the state. Is it alive or dead? And next week, council has to vote on two outside legal counsels to come in and help with this new financial deal with the state.
We've got to resolve those. We really do. Those aren't small, because if they weren't small, they wouldn't be in the agreement.
City Council discussing the future of this partnership with the state behind closed doors. Getting legal advice from City Attorney Crystal Crittenden.
Can we talk with you a second before you go in?
I'm in a hurry. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Remember, she created chaos earlier this year, suing the state over the consent agreement with the city and lost. So now,
is the consent agreement dead?
Well, the voters have spoken.
Others on council say the future and the partnership with the state is simply not clear.
There are certain items within that consent agreement that are built around Public Act 4, and there are others that are not.
The mayor tells 7 Action News the city needs the state to move forward, and he won't comment until council makes its decisions known.
What we're asking for is, provided that we meet the milestones that we've agreed upon, we're asking for $10 million in the month of November. We meet the milestones that we've agreed upon, we're asking for $20 million in December. And then we've got another $50 million that will be held in escrow at a later date.
Many here at City Hall say the uncertainty over the consent agreement can end up where else? In court. In downtown, Jim Kurtzner, 7 Action News.
Media bias. Media bias. The chaos she created, Crystal Kurtzner, the chaos she created. She didn't create chaos. The situation created the chaos. It wasn't the attorney that created the chaos. This media bias is driving me up a freaking wall. Just tell the story. You don't have to editorialize in the story. Just tell the story. What's wrong with these people? I'm not convinced that this partnership with the state, obviously, is going to work. This isn't an opinion. It's a matter of fact. It's a matter of course. I do get very concerned, and I do have some empathy towards the city council, but I do have some concern about their leadership under Charles Pugh. I just think he has a very hard time taking a position and then really standing by that decision, and that's very frustrating at a time where the city needs help. I go back to, again, our friends at AFSCME who gave the city an opportunity through a proposal to save, $300 or $400 million. They walked away from that. They didn't seriously consider it. Was it simply a matter of ego? It wasn't their idea? Or are they beholden to corporate entities that help some of them get elected and therefore they can't consider some of this, which would be treasonous? Bad news. It's bad news. And I feel for the people that live in the city of Detroit. I've said this before, and let me say it again right now. For those that decided to stay, for those that are moving in right now, for those that are showing you confidence and those are that are showing you an ability to support you, you need to find a way to save what few resources are left to be saved. Do you guys get this? I mean, do you really get this? It's disturbing. It's truly disturbing. It's very difficult to see this beautiful jewel, the city of Detroit, suffer the way it is because there are so many egos involved in this whole process. All right, listen, the next hour we've got three great guests, actually. Dennis Van Roekel, the president of the National Education Association, will join us. He was at that meeting at the White House on Tuesday with labor leaders talking to President Obama. We'll get his impressions. We'll talk to Representative Gary Peters about the fiscal cliff. And my friend Michelle Fox Phillips joins us to talk about the Transgender Day of Remembrance. All that and a lot more coming up here on First Shift. Stay where you're at. NBC News coming up next.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your Friday morning traffic, 94 westbound before US 23. Accident has your right shoulder blocked with stop and go traffic from US 12. 275 southbound, the ramp to 94 eastbound, two car accident there. Slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. And you still have those railroad crossing gates in the down position on 23 mile road west of Chesterfield. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 49. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. at Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikluszewski. A celebration honoring U.S. veterans has ended in tragedy. At least four people are dead after a train slammed into a parade float in Midland, Texas. NBC's Janet Shamlian.
Midland County Sheriff Gary Painter told reporters the trailer was almost across the tracks when it was hit. Some on the flatbed tried to jump. Others tried to protect their wives and girlfriends. He called it pandemonium.
17 others were injured, one critically. The fiscal cliff tops the agenda as President Obama sits down with congressional leaders at the White House. The goal to find a compromise on tax and spending cuts. Republicans and Democrats still far apart on raising taxes on the wealthiest. Wall Street still bearish after three straight losing sessions. Stock futures point to a lower open. And kids still aren't getting the message. A State Farm survey finds nearly 7 in 10 young drivers still text behind the wheel despite all the warnings against texting while driving and despite the fact it's illegal in 39 states and D.C. This is NBC News Radio. Former CIA Director David Petraeus getting ready to field closed-door questions from lawmakers today about the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. NBC's Andrea Mitchell says the retired four-star general is also being investigated by the CIA.
Petraeus is facing a startling reversal of fortune. The CIA says the focus of the inspector general's probe is whether Petraeus used agency resources to further his relationship with Paula Broadwell.
Petraeus resigned a week ago, admitting he'd had an affair with Broadwell. The FDA says it's investigating 13 reports of deaths and 33 hospitalizations linked to the highly caffeinated 5-Hour Energy. Right now, the FDA does not regulate caffeine in energy drinks, which can be marketed as dietary supplements. And your taste buds may get a kick out of sugary soft drinks, but your knees won't. A study at Harvard Medical School shows a link between high soda consumption and arthritis of the knees in men, regardless of how much you weigh. I'm Jim Mikluszewski, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a 100% risk-free million-bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-713-9768. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv 100% risk-free and also receive our fast-acting refining mask and green tea moisturizer free when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv. You'll receive a 60-day trial 100% risk-free, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-713-9768. There's no financial risk. Get your 100% risk-free trial giveaway of Proactiv, including two free extras. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-713-9768. That's 1-800-713-9768.
Operations at all plants owned by Hostess have been suspended as the bankrupt company files a motion with bankruptcy court to liquidate. Most of its 18,000 workers are out of a job. The few jobs remaining will not remain for long. The Twinkies, Drake's, Wonder Bread, and other products already made will be delivered to stores. That's expected to last a few more days. Hostess will sell all assets, giving someone a chance, many hope, to keep at least some of those brands going. All this happened after workers on strike declined to return by the end of business yesterday. The company had said, come back or we are pulling the plug. It is not a shock that Sears Holdings is losing money. The company behind Sears and Kmart reports sales declined at both chains in the third quarter as its loss widened from a year ago to $500 million. Friday, stock futures are down again. S&P futures losing 2 points. NASDAQ futures down 3. Dow futures down 21. Most markets in Europe also lower to finish the week. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
My Mercedes-Benz dealership has a courtesy car waiting for me. It's easy for me
to come in. They always use Mercedes-Benz genuine parts.
And they always have my favorite coffee. I just feel so comfortable.
Personal attention and exceptional customer care. As a Mercedes-Benz owner, it's what you deserve and what you'll get.
My smooth ride.
My genuine sense.
My comfort zone. My service.
To learn more, visit mbusa.com/myservice.
Services vary. Available at participating dealers.
They say music is a universal language, but when I was in an accident, I was worried the healthcare system spoke a language all its own. But with United Healthcare, I got help that fit my life. Information on my phone, connection to doctors who get where I'm from, tools to estimate what my care may cost. So I never missed a beat.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for more than 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare. Learn more at UHC.com.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
And right now, get 50% off photo cards and invitations. No coupon needed. Limited time only. Details in-store and at Staples.com. Staples. That was easy.
An important message from Medicare. It's Medicare open enrollment, now through December 7th. Time to compare plans. Happy with your current one? You can always keep it, but it never hurts to look. And check out the preventive benefits you get after the healthcare log, with no co-pays or deductibles, like a yearly wellness visit. Savings, too, like over 50% off brand name prescriptions in the donut hole. Medicare open enrollment. Now's the time. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, the 16th day of November 2012. While we can talk about the mandate, and I do believe the president was given one, on Election Day, we can talk about a progressive vision for the company, our country, and I do believe we were also handed that on Election Day as well. That doesn't mean that there isn't a sense of responsibility, and it doesn't mean it shouldn't be an all-inclusive conversation. This president, recognizing the importance of labor unions in this country, invited them to the White House this week to talk to them not just about the fiscal cliff, but about where we go from here. And I'd like to think, and we'll find out in a moment if it's true, that he thanked labor for their support of his candidacy and helping getting him reelected. No one was more important to that than the nation's largest union in the country, the National Education Association. And their president, Dennis Van Roekel, joins us this morning to have that conversation. Dennis, I want to welcome you to First Shift and say good morning to you.
Hey, well, thank you. It's great to be there with you.
I appreciate it a great deal. Obviously, you're all too familiar with the struggles Steve Cook, the president of the Michigan Education Association, is dealing with our state legislature. But I really wanted to take a national focus. Let's go back earlier this week. You're at the White House. The president said, please tell me he said thank you.
Yes, he did. He did say thank you for all the work that labor and the progressive community had done in this election. And we also thanked him for staying on message. You know, I kidded with a lot of people that President Obama was the same candidate all through the election, and he had three opponents, one during the Republican primary, one after the primary, and one during the debate. So President Obama, we thanked him for staying true to his word.
Well, he did stay true to his word. And listen, we may not agree with him on everything. And Dennis, let's just be honest about that. None of us in the progressive community all agree on everything. And that's okay. I think that's what gives us our strength. I think that's what gives us our very foundation, is that we're able to talk and dialogue about issues and come to understanding. In fact, I would suggest that the progressive community is very much like, or should be very much like, our educational community, where we may not always agree on exactly what needs to be done, but we all know that we have to work together toward a compromise to get it done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's often pointed out to me that NEA, even we supported President Obama in 2008 and again this year, and they say, but you disagree with him on some educational policies, and I go, yes, but we don't disagree on the vision. We don't disagree on a vision for America that education is critical for everyone, for the individual to follow their dreams, for a nation and their building of the economy, and for the future in terms of being able to compete in a global society. So we totally agree on where we need to go. Disagreement on how the best way to get there, that's a good discussion. Because out of that discussion, I think we come up with ideas that neither of us had thought of, and we find a better way to get where we both agree is the where America needs to be in the future.
Well, you know, Dennis, let's talk about the meeting. The president did bring the heads of labor together. Certainly you were part of that discussion. Listen, I know you can't tell us everything that happened. Some things happen in these meetings that are not meant for public consumption, and I'm fine with that. But really, what was he looking for from you when he turned to you and said, you know, President Van Roekel, what can I do? What can we do? What do we need to do? What was your advice to the president?
Well, as a labor community, progressive community, we stayed on around three areas. One is, of course, we talked about jobs. The best way to grow the revenue in this country is by getting people back to work. And we need to invest in jobs. And Congress has been reticent to do that. They didn't pass the president's jobs bill, and they need to do that. Second, we talked about protecting the beneficiaries of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. There are savings that can be found in those programs, but we can't do it on the back of the beneficiaries. For example, Congress passed a law that said in Medicare they can't use competitive bidding for drugs. That's crazy. Open that up, and you can save money, but you don't have to do it on the back of the recipients. And the third area that I talked to the president and vice president about is in this whole area of taxes. And, you know, I think in this election, as you stated, it wasn't really just about the people. It was about the ideas and values that people embraced. And I think one of those was fairness. And the American people had a choice. We could make Medicare a voucher system. They rejected that. They said we could cut benefits to these people. They rejected that. What they believe is there has to be a fair approach. And in terms of taxes, number one, the tax cut for the wealthy is 2%. The president has said that all the way through. I don't expect him to change it. He said it in the meeting. They're going to let those expire. But there's another fairness issue, and Warren Buffett brought it up quite a while ago, and he said it doesn't make sense that his secretary pays a higher percent of income tax on her income than he does. You know, if you earn your money by working, whether you're at an auto plant, electrician, a fireman, or a teacher, why in the world should you pay higher on your income than someone who earns it through wealth, through dividends or capital gains? When you file your income tax, that's income, and it ought to be done fairly. And the third area of fairness is closing the loopholes so that corporations who earn profits offshore don't get away without paying any taxes, and corporations who make billions in profits who pay zero. And you know the amazing thing? If we just did those three very simple, fair approaches, that would generate $1.6 trillion, and what they're looking for in this cliff is $1.2 trillion. So I told the president that. There is a way to have a balanced approach. A year ago, we cut $1.7 trillion from discretionary spending. And now it's time to look at the revenue, and there is a fair and equitable way to do that.
Well, no question, you know, Dennis, as you talk about job creation, about the jobs bill, that, you know, at a time where borrowing money is at a historic low, as a businessman, it just makes sense to make that investment now, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, in the last 3 years, we have really decimated the public service area. And so, first of all, it has the impact on the recipients. In my world of education, we've lost about 350,000 education jobs. All those kids are still there, and they've raised class size, they've eliminated essential programs, they live in after school, summer school. The kids are suffering from that, and that doesn't make sense. Number two, those are jobs that really provide for the economic growth in every single community in America. They're not jobs that are shipped overseas. That's an investment when you invest in education. It just doesn't make any sense to borrow from Peter to pay Paul, especially when Paul is a five-year-old kid trying to learn in school. So I just think it's short-sighted, and in their own business they wouldn't do that. And in America, we need to invest in education and in jobs.
Now, what do we need to do? People like myself, people like my audience, is it as simple as, you know, keeping our lawmakers' feet to the fire, reminding them as often as we have to that they have an obligation to service their constituents?
Yeah, I think what every single listener can do is put in a phone call to members of Congress as we're going into this lame duck session. There are high stakes. There are very big issues before them. And here's how I think. There are 435 members in the House of Representatives. There are 100 in the Senate. So that's 535 people. But they're not making a decision for them. They're making a decision for 360 million people in America who are depending on them. And they ought to be making that decision on what's in the best interest of the people. And that's the message I think they, every single one of your listeners can deliver to their member of Congress. To tell them that, listen, I need you to act on my behalf, not your own. And you know, another thing, and we have a site called educationvotes.org. And there's a petition that says kids not cuts, meaning don't take it away from the kids who are in school right now. We don't need those kinds of cuts. We need to come up with a better balanced approach that serves everyone.
Well, there's no question that's true. You know, I started this off by saying you know all too well the struggles we're having with education here in the state of Michigan. Without the work of the Michigan Education Association, much of this stuff would have already been in place, and we've got some big fights in front of us. And unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of having one house, the Democrat here in the state of Michigan, or progressive, if you will, Dennis Van Rokel. So we understand the fight moving forward. We're prepared to fight that fight. But certainly, we need to also focus on what's happening at the federal level. I'm glad you were in that room. For people that are not familiar with your leadership, with your dedication to students, which is where your first priority has always been. I want to remind this audience, you spent a lot of years in the classroom. You're not one of those people that was hired into this. You earned your presidency, sir.
Well, thank you. 23 years as a high school math teacher. I've learned to do numbers, and I keep telling members of Congress, you're not adding very well.
No, they are not. they're not adding very well. Well, listen, I want to thank you for the generous amount of your time this morning. I know you've got a lot going on. I'm sure that the meeting this week was both exciting and at some level critical and necessary. And listen, part of the message that you deliver to the president is we're with you, but we're watching you. And I know you did that. So thanks so much for your time this morning.
You bet. And thank you for your kind words about President Steve Cook and the MEA, the Michigan Education Association. They are doing tremendous work in Michigan each and every day. They're educating the kids under extreme circumstances. And we're with them all the way and help them in any way we can.
Absolutely.
And thank you.
Thank you, Dennis Van Rokel. Appreciate you being with us. A quick break here. Folks, if you want, pick up the phone and give us a call. We'll be back right after this. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW.
With Tony Tribbiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, still following those two accidents. First one's on 94 westbound before US 23, blocking your right shoulder with slow traffic from Michigan Avenue. And on US 23 southbound after 8 Mile, blocking your right shoulder with slow traffic from M36. Also, there's debris in the right lane. Use some caution there. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 49. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310.
WDTW.
I want to thank Dennis Van Rokel once again, the president of the National Education Association. They are the nation's largest. They are the nation's largest union in the country. Protecting our children, protecting our teachers, protecting what little sanity that's left in the process, and ain't a whole lot of it. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Congressman Gary Peters will be with us to walk us through negotiations, the fiscal cliff, and what's going on. Will there be a compromise? What kind of compromise will it be? Will we sacrifice quote-unquote entitlements, etc.? A lot of questions to get to. If you'd like to join us, we're open lines to the bottom of the hour. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. You know, I need to necessarily continue to remind you why I am so hung up on education issues, mostly because it continues to confound me that that isn't so many people's priority, including our legislators. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Let's go to the phones. One of my pals from Progressive Democrats of America is on the line. Kurt Bateman joins us. Kurt, first of all, let me apologize for not calling you back yet. You were definitely on my call list for today. You got something going on you want to talk about, and then we're going to start recruiting people, right?
Yeah, Tony. That's the plan. I'll be in Royal Oak tomorrow. Going to be putting together an organizational meeting for the Greater Detroit Chapter of Progressive Democrats of America. I would like to invite anybody and everybody to email me. My email is Kurt, K-U-R-T, at pdamerica.org. We're going to get together between 10 and noon tomorrow with a local Democratic Socialist of America chapter and sort of strategically plan how we fight the austerity agenda that seems to be taking over Washington.
Well, certainly a very worthy effort. Now, before we go any further, let's get some other information out there. Where are you meeting at?
Well, I'd kind of like to hold that for folks who really want to come. You email me, and I'll have the information for you. It's going to be sort of near the intersection of 13th and Cook at a senior center. It's at the DSA general membership meeting. We don't want to, you know, sort of inundate them with folks, but they've invited us to join and do some collaborative work.
All right, well, that's good. Kurt, K-U-R-T at pdamerica.org, K-U-R-T at pdamerica.org. We'll also get that up on the website. Kurt, as I shared with you when I saw you last Saturday night, when I had mentioned PDA to this audience middle of last week, I did get some response. People wanted to know, so I will make sure I reach out to those people and let them know that this, I mean, it may be short notice, but this is the beginning of a process, Kurt. I have committed, as you know, to my good friend, Tim Carpenter. I have committed to helping grow PDA here in the Detroit area. It's something that we've threatened to do for about 7 years now, so it's about time I got off my ass and did something.
Well, thank you for your offer to help. We really, really need to take the message that austerity doesn't work, that we need prosperity and jobs. Quite frankly, the deficits that we're seeing as a result of the fact that working class folks don't have jobs to pay, you know, enough to get along. And, you know, if we had back those millions and millions of jobs we lost in the financial clash or crisis that Wall Street created in 2007 and 2008, all of those folks would have been paying taxes all this time on their meager incomes, and the millions and millions of people out of work is really what's causing this deficit. We need to put people back to productive work, and there's no doubt about that.
Well, there is no doubt about that, and we need to, of course, stay away from war. We need to make sure that we expand access to health care. There are so many really great causes that Progressive Democrats of America are involved in, and beyond advocacy work, I'll remind everybody, as many of them are familiar, but for those that are not, Dr. Syed Taj's campaign was greatly benefited by the great work of Progressive Democrats of America. Now, unfortunately, we didn't elect him, but we certainly did see a great deal of movement in that race, and it became much more realistic once PDA got involved, Kurt.
Yeah, we have a great group of folks who work nationally hooking people up in virtual phone banks that can make a lot of impact in local races. But certainly, in between races, we want to make sure that we have the voice of people in the ear of our decision makers in Washington. You know, we have a great advocate there in Southeast Michigan, in John Conyers, who's always supported the PDA dual sort of message of health care, not warfare. We need to put our resources towards more productive things for society, for the general good or the common good. And we're progressives first, we're Democrats second, so we basically are pushing the progressive message that, you know, health care, not warfare, ending wars, prosperity, not austerity. We need to have everybody benefiting from what has been sort of a Wall Street economy for the past decade or so. We've seen middle class and working class wages deteriorate, major cities like Detroit going through terrible, terrible times because of this sort of short-sighted, winner-take-all sort of economics.
All right. Well, let me remind everybody again, your email address, and this meeting is going to be tomorrow between 10 and noon, and unfortunately I'm speaking at an AFL-CIO event between 10 and noon, it is what it is. Kurt, K-U-R-T, at pdamerica.org. Kurt, K-U-R-T, at pdamerica.org.
.org.
And I will make sure that I do touch base with you so that we can start comparing notes. We can start organizing the Detroit group. It makes so much sense to do this with DSA, Kurt, for a lot of reasons. As you said, we're progressive first, not Democrats first. And there are things that we stand. I mean, listen, the majority of Democrats are going to agree with our agenda. Some of it may be a little more liberal than they're used to. We'll turn them around, Kurt.
Well, it's not about liberal conservative. It's about right and wrong. Let's face it. An economy doesn't work if it doesn't work for the majority of the citizens.
And quite frankly, what we've seen, well, really since Ronald Reagan, is extraction upwards of all of the resources that we produce together. You know, we're all in this same boat, you know. I mean, we may have, I think, I can't remember who said it. Maybe it was Jesse Jackson who said, you know, we came over on different boats. We're all in the same boat now, and half a boat don't float. So that's from Nina Turner, by the way, in my state. She's a senator here in Ohio who's just fantastic on these issues.
Yeah, we actually played some audio from her a little earlier in the show, Kurt, because they're producing, the legislature is trying to produce some anti-women, anti-reproductive right legislation that would defund Planned Parenthood and take reproductive choice away from women once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's half of our population or better. You know, women are vital to our society. They need to have that access in order to be productive and fully participating segment of the society. I think the conservatives are making a huge mistake by taking their ability to have control over their own reproductive choices away.
All right, and, Kurt, we're just out of time. Again, KURT at pdamerica.org. I'll look forward to talking to you soon. Thanks for your call this morning, pal.
All right, take care.
You bet. Kurt Bateman once again. Folks, we'll take a break. Congressman Gary Peters when First Shift continues.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, you've picked up a new accident on the Southfield Freeway northbound at 8 Mile. It's blocking your right shoulder and causing slow traffic from McNichols. 94 westbound before US 23, accident has your right shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Michigan Avenue. And on 94 eastbound at North River Road, accident is on the exit ramp, and that's causing slow traffic from Metropolitan Parkway. And you also got reports of debris in the right two lanes of 94 eastbound, so use some caution there. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 49. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off. The non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Two heroes emerged at the polls this year, and neither was named Barack or Mitt. Their names are Galicia and Ken, ordinary Americans with extraordinary civic spirit. While about 40% of eligible voters didn't bother to cast their ballots this year, these two demonstrated that our right to vote is not something to take lightly, especially at a time when Republican officials in several states are going to extremes to deny millions of citizens that right. Galicia Malone, 21 years old, was making an urgent trip to the hospital Tuesday morning because she was about to give birth to her first child. Her water had broken and her contractions were 5 minutes apart, so there was no time to waste. But Galicia points out that the opportunity to vote also ought not be wasted. So, contractions be damned, she stopped at her polling place in a Chicago suburb and patiently went down the entire ballot, determined to be counted in her first election. Ignoring her pains, Galicia says, "I was just trying to read and breathe. This is my first baby, a girl, and I wanted to make a good impression. I want to have a story to tell her." Having proudly delivered her vote, she then drove herself to the hospital and delivered her baby. Now that's a story. Ken Knight of Buda, Texas, is another die-hard voter. Literally. Sadly, Ken died from cancer the morning of Election Day. But the previous Friday, the last day of early voting, his wife and several friends lifted him, his wheelchair, and two tanks of oxygen into a van and drove him to City Hall. "He was hell-bent on voting," Amy Knight says of her husband. "It was a driving force for him." Her only regret was that she forgot to get an "I voted" sticker for Ken's ride home.
This is Jim Hightower saying, so spare me any whining about voting being a pain or too much of a bother for you.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Let me get right to my guest. Joining us now is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters. We are here to talk about the fiscal cliff. But before we get to that, Congressman, I want to congratulate you on your victory last Tuesday, November 6th. Although there wasn't much to be left after the primary, we are still glad that it's official and that you will now be serving the 14th Congressional District.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. We're very excited about the new district. The 14th district, as you know, includes half the city of Detroit and the other half in the suburbs. The district from Pontiac all the way down to south of the Ambassador Bridge in Detroit, Mexican town. So I'm very excited about the new district and look forward to serving the good people there.
Well, it's almost an infamous district. I talked to a couple of your colleagues that live out of state this week, and when I mentioned your name, they all chuckle and say, yeah, he's got an interesting one.
Well, yeah, it is. It's diverse, but it's also an opportunity to bring people together, which is what we have to do. And not only in greater Detroit, but certainly we've got to bring people together like we need to bring Congress together right now on the whole debt, on the debt issue and the fiscal cliff we're dealing with.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, it's one of those things that I think people understand the bigger picture. When they hear fiscal cliff, they know that it's significant, but when it comes to a compromise, as with each passing day that goes by, there's really not a lot of news. Unfortunately, we're spending way too much time talking about a general's indiscretion, or the Congress seems to be focused on name-calling over Benghazi instead of dealing with the real issues that need to be dealt with. Is this a delay tactic?
Well, it is frustrating, and it is certainly a distraction from what we need to deal with. So we've got to really come together, and I'm hoping, as the president has said, that we can deal with a grand bargain and deal with the deficit of this issue. But, you know, basically when people are talking about a fiscal cliff, we've got a couple things happening at the end of the year. We've got tax cuts that were passed in the early 2000s that will expire, so there'll be a tax increase for both middle-income people as well as high-income earners on January 1st. At the same time, the very significant spending cuts will kick in as a result of our failure to deal with the debt limit talks earlier. And so when you add those two together, a big tax increase with significant cuts in spending, we're very concerned about the impact on the economy. In fact, the Congressional Budget Office estimates that the growth of the gross domestic product next year could be reduced by close to 3% if this kicks in, which could be increased unemployment, slipping back into recession. In fact, we could lose over 3 million jobs. So we do have to deal with the deficit, but you can't do it all at once, which is what will happen on January 1st. And that's why we've proposed, and I agree with the president, that we have to generate revenue in addition to cuts. But that revenue should be focused on those folks that are making $250,000 or more, and the middle class should not see a tax increase, and we're fighting to keep middle class taxpayers with the same taxes they pay now, but looking for an increase of those at the very top. And that's been the stumbling block. Republicans have refused to do that. They do not want to raise any taxes whatsoever on the most wealthy Americans.
Now, the president has also said, and Congressman, you actually have a reputation for bipartisan efforts, so this is not unusual to have this conversation with you. The president has said that he's willing to talk about compromise, willing to accept compromise, but it has to be done responsibly. You just said something that is clearly the truth. We can't do it all at once. Don't your colleagues on the other side of the aisle understand that we cannot continue to play politics, especially after an election where these issues were front and center, and they decided to stay with the status quo, which means they decided to stay with a progressive president that has a vision for this country that they embrace.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, you're on this tax question, which is just one aspect of a very complicated issue, but certainly the tax aspect that we need to raise revenues. And the president was very clear through the election that we need to raise taxes on individuals making $250,000 or more. We need to see that in order to deal with the federal deficit. Mr. Romney had a completely different view, and Mr. Romney lost. I mean, the elections do have consequences, and to me, I think it is irresponsible for Republicans to stand in the way and actually may, in fact, increase taxes on middle-class taxpayers because they can't keep their tax rates for the highest-paid Americans, those who have benefited the most from what we've seen in the economy over the last few decades, can't pay their fair share. So, to me, elections do have consequences, and to have the Republicans saying no, they're still not going to have any budget in any way and not be open to compromise just shows this is a party out of touch with America.
No question. Let's take a very quick call before we get back to the discussion. I want to welcome Mike and Clausen. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning. You're on the air with Congressman Gary Peters.
Morning, Congressman Peters.
Good morning.
Do you remember me?
Mike?
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, okay. Gary, I just wanted to mention, while you're not going to be my congressman come January, you still are now in the old ninth, and I just have two concerns. One is the restoring the Postal Service and reminding everybody that federal workers and federal retirees should not be thrown under the bus on any budget consideration.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Good to hear your voice again, Mike. And as you know, I'm a strong supporter of the U.S. Postal Service. We've got to make sure that the mail delivery continues to happen in this country and stand firm with our postal workers, but also believe that Postal Service is an important part of the economy here in America. And I have been working for fairness there, making sure the Postal Service doesn't have to do things that other companies don't have to, which is really and put an impediment on their ability to make ends meet. And I'll continue to work closely with efforts to reform that system to make the U.S. Postal Service competitive and continuing to deliver the mail on a timely basis and move our economy forward. And also your second point about government workers. You know, I'm dealing with the Republican Party here who likes to demonize public service workers, whether you work for the federal government or city government or the state government, or whether you're a teacher or a fireman or a postal worker. The Republicans want to attack public service workers and those people who are working hard every day delivering services that citizens across this country need and deserve. And I think it's really outrageous. We have to deal with the deficit, but we have to deal with it in a thoughtful way and understand that demonizing one group of individuals is absolutely irresponsible. And the Republicans continually demonizing public service employees has to stop, and certainly I will continue to lead that fight to make them stop that.
Yeah, and as you have done in the past, let's talk for a moment about the extending the tax cuts for 98% of the country, which includes, by the way, small business. And this is one of the lies that gets told, that if we were to adopt the president's plan, small business would be hurt and therefore jobs would be cut. There's no truth to that, is there?
No, there is not. In fact, when you talk about small business and the 250,000 threshold, that means that 97% of small businesses would not pay a penny more due to this increase. So 97% of small businesses are not touched. And when you talk about some of the small businesses that are, and they're basically the Republicans want to protect anyone who receives any kind of business income. And so these are folks like high-paid athletes, lobbyists, if you're owner of a large privately held multinational company, these are the wealthiest folks in the country. It's not the average small business on Main Street. 97% of small businesses aren't touched. And, the Congressional Budget Office also took a look at what the impact would be of these tax increases on the economy. And they found that if we tax these folks at the very top, the wealthiest, it has literally only a 0.1% increase on the growth of GDP. It is just a tiny little fraction of the growth, and yet it contributes $800 billion to dealing with our deficit. So it is something that has to be done. We have the lowest tax rate since, I think, back to the Truman days. So it's not like we are in a high-tax environment right now. These are some of the lowest taxes Americans have paid in decades. This is about restoring some fairness into the system, allowing us to get closer to having a balanced budget where we can still provide vital services to middle-class folks and just make sure there's more fairness in the system. And that's it, bottom line.
Congressman Peters, when do you expect that we're going to start to have real discussions about this? Is this about the Republicans moving or the president moving first?
Well, I think the president has been very forthcoming. He's been out with his statements. He wants to put everything on the table. And you know, the Republicans have come back and said, well, we don't want to increase any tax rates. We want to eliminate some deductions and loopholes. And yet, just like Mr. Romney, they have not given one specific example of what they want to do. We need to have some specifics. The president's been laying out some specifics, but at some point, we need to hear what the Republicans have in store for us. I hope this is not a repeat of what we've seen the last 2 years, where the only word the Republicans know is no. No, they will not support anything, and yet offer nothing constructive, no positive views as to where we need to go or any suggestions of what they would do. It's hard to negotiate with one side. All they do is sit on their hands and say no. We need to see some specific examples from the Republicans, and we haven't seen it yet.
Well, we can't have two more years of that. There's no question. And we are still trying to recover here in the state of Michigan, as you well know, Congressman. And now that you are about to approach a new district, I realize that you've got to take care of your business in the 9th before you get on to the business of the 14th. I'm actually going to suggest you're serving both constituencies at this point, because it's not like you forget about those in this area that you have served for so long, but we cannot sit on our hands for two more years. And I would suggest, because of your record, in fact, it was Stephen Henderson of the Detroit Free Press that said if there's anybody that can broker a bipartisan deal, it would be Gary Peters. I would agree with that. Congressman, thanks for your time, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Sounds great, Tony. Always a pleasure to be on with you.
I appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Let's take a quick break here. Michelle Fox Phillips joins us from Transgender Detroit when First Shift continues. Stay with us, please.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671. First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old.
make it here in America if you're willing to try.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We just have a lot going on this morning, so I want to move on to my next guest. Joining us now is my friend Michelle Fox Phillip. Michelle is the executive director of Transgender Detroit, and they have a very special event going on this evening that we want to invite you to. And Michelle, I want to thank you for joining us once again on First Shift.
Well, thank you for having us, Tony, and thank you for being involved in this event tonight. I'm glad to have you.
I'm very much looking forward to it. Let's talk about what this event is.
Okay, Transgender Day of Remembrance was started in 1998 by a woman named Gwendolyn Smith, a journalist out in California. She started the webpage Remembering Our Dead in honor of Rita Hessler, a trans woman who was murdered in Boston, Massachusetts, and that nobody paid attention to her murder. The following year, there started individual candlelight vigils throughout the world. Here in Detroit, it's our 13th annual Transgender Day of Remembrance.
All right, and where is this evening's activity going to take place, Michelle?
Okay, it's going to be at 23 East Adams, Central United Methodist Church, at the corner of Adams and Woodward, next to Comerica Park. The doors will open up at 6:30. And the ceremony will be starting at 7. Along with you as our speakers, we are having an African-American, Billy Owen, who is composed a poem for tonight. Reverend Faith Fowler, I think you might be familiar from Cass Community Services, will also be speaking. And we will have musical selections along with reading our names by Barbara Payton and accompanied by Mary McGuire.
Yeah, and I believe there are 264 names. Is that correct, Michelle?
Yes, 264 names of transgender individuals have been murdered since last November. 15 of those names were in the U.S. alone, including Coco Williams, a Detroit girl who was murdered last April.
You know, Michelle, I don't mean, and I know it's early in the morning, and I don't mean to upset anybody, but, you know, when we talk about murder, these are not just somebody was shot or somebody was stabbed. These are heinous murders. They're indescribable, and I won't put people through that. It's not just that these people are murdered or harassed or bullied. These people are literally ripped apart.
Yes, they are. Okay, here's one. Samaria de Santos from Brazil was shot in the buttocks, back, and ribs at the entrance of her partner. Let's see who else I can find. Cassidy Vickers out of Los Angeles. Cassidy was shot in the chest and killed at 9:55. They're very, very graphic. It's just due to hate and violence against the transgender community. It's like we insult people and they feel like they have to take their anger out on us, and they do it in such horrendous ways.
It's absolutely inexcusable to even bully somebody that's transgendered. You know, and I get it, Michelle, that people don't understand it. I get that. But get education, you know? Understand what's going on. Pray for a little bit of guidance, a little bit of of compassion. It doesn't have to. I mean, you don't have to strike out. That's the part I don't understand. The violent hatred towards trans people. I don't get it, Michelle. You know I don't get it.
It's just that people are uneducated about our community. Also, there's also a stigma in our community that was perpetrated by talk shows like Jerry Springer and Phil Donahue, where they showed men in dresses. Unfortunately, the right-wing faction in this country, whenever there's a human rights ordinance to include gender identity in this ordinance, along with sexual orientation, they don't target the gay community so much, but they put out flyers showing stubbled, bearded men in a dress carrying a purse saying that we will go into restrooms or locker rooms and harass their wives or women and children, which is totally untrue. There has never been an incident of a trans person harassing anybody else in a restroom or locker room in this country.
Go ahead.
Go on.
No, go ahead.
This just perpetrates the hate against us. And a lot of the victims that we will be reading the names off tonight are persons of color. And that alone is adds to discrimination. A lot of them cannot afford to have surgery, do hormones. They cannot afford to get a name change. They might present as Rachel, but their ID and legal name might be Ray. And being a person of color or any trans person, chances of them might be being hired will probably be nil.
This is a very, very difficult territory to navigate. We certainly, and Michelle, I'm going to commit to you that over the next year, we spend a whole lot more time with you, through you, exploring these issues. Perhaps you can encourage some of the members of the trans community to come on the show and talk about their story. I think that the stigma surrounding it is unfair. I think that that when people hear some of these stories, that perhaps the compassion that we so desperately would like people to exhibit is there. They just don't understand. So let's commit to doing that moving forward, can we?
Oh, most assuredly. I would be glad to help you in this endeavor, and I think this would be great. Any way we can educate the public, and like you mentioned earlier, the key word is educate, educate, and educate.
Well, no question. I will look forward to seeing you this evening. I will be there certainly before 6:30 so that you don't have to worry if I'm coming. I'll be there. I think we're going to have a great evening. And I want to invite the audience as well. Anybody that would like to come tonight, again, at the Central United Methodist Church at 23 East Adams, right near Comerica Park. You really can't miss it. It's going to be a very special evening. And Michelle, I'll look forward to seeing you tonight.
Well, thank you, Tony, and I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so much. Michelle Fox Phillips, again, the Executive Director of Transgender Detroit. Folks, if you would like to come, you just have to show up. You don't have to RSVP, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of room. Let me be careful how I say this. I was going to say, even if you're just curious, but that's not the right way to say this. If you want to be supportive, I think that many of you really have no clue how difficult a journey this is for a transgendered person. And to be murdered just because you are born a certain way is just wrong. And you know, we play a bump on this show. One of the rejoins is, discrimination is discrimination. It's true. This isn't about the color of one's skin. It shouldn't be about somebody's sexual orientation. And we need to be mindful of that. Let's take a quick break here for the top of the hour. Joe DeSano, our political insider, when First Shift continues. Stay with us. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch. Checking your rush hour traffic. You've picked up a new accident on the Southfield Freeway northbound at 8 Mile. It's blocking your right shoulder and causing slow traffic from McNichols. 94 westbound before US 23. Accident has your right shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Michigan Avenue. And on 94 eastbound at North River Road, accident is on the exit ramp, and that's causing slow traffic from Metropolitan Parkway. And you also got reports of debris in the right two lanes of 94 eastbound, so use some caution there. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly sunny and 50. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 49. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, now on for four full hours from 6 to 10, Monday through Friday. Right.